All right, guys, welcome once again to your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast. I am Brad Howard, and I've got John Barbin on the phone. And today, we're going to talk about ketogenic diets, glycogen, and the difference between all of these things and regular diets, because we've been getting a lot of questions about this type of thing in the forums. So John, let's go ahead and start it off and talk about what a ketogenic diet is, what some of the misconceptions about it is, and what's it really for?
Ketogenic diets were created or came about, I think, in the 1920s it was, and it was a treatment for epilepsy. I'm not going to really get into all the specifics, but basically it was, I don't know, I guess somebody theorized that something to do with carbohydrates could, reducing the carbohydrate content of the diet could have some kind of effect. And it worked not bad. It actually had some beneficial results in a significant number of patients, so it was actually useful. So the diet itself is simply just the reduction of carbohydrates to basically zero or, you know, like 10, 15 grams a day. Like there, you know, basically no carbohydrate in the diet. And then the only food the patient would eat is just mostly fat and a little bit of protein. And that was it. That was the base of the whole diet. And it seemed to actually work pretty well for epilepsy. And I can't really remember the history of it all, but somehow it came back up in the literature in the 90s, and that's when it became popular with Atkins as a weight loss idea. So I kind of feel like perhaps Atkins or a couple of people thought, hey, this is an interesting new twist on how to eat, and people are going to like the idea of being told they can eat fat and protein and you know, carbs are the enemy and all that kind of stuff. And so it sort of became in vogue as a weight loss solution as well, even though at no point was it ever actually – it was never designed or conceived of for weight loss. It was meant for treating the psychological disorder. So I don't know how it ever got to the point where – I think it's the fat – the idea of less carbohydrates and the story about insulin, and it all kind of fit together. And so people started, you know, latching onto that concept, thinking, oh, maybe this is the – this is the panacea, the way to actually lose weight.
Well, I mean, it would make sense if you could make it work. And like I say, thinking back in the 90s, if I'm a person thinking about it, because not only do I not have to eat grass all day, but I can eat bacon. And, you know, because, you know, who doesn't like to eat bacon and omelets? And, well, I'm sure some people don't. But
no, it's, you know, the promise. It's a promise of, like, meat and cheese and all that stuff, all the stuff they were told just, you know, in the 50s and 60s that they weren't supposed to eat.
Right. So what's the basis? What are some of these common misconceptions that people make about this particular diet that really kind of throw them off?
Well, the misconception is that it's again, ignoring calories. It's the type of calorie that matters and not calories in total is what the misconception is. So in this case, the story is that you can eat all the fat and protein you want in the world, as long as you minimize carbs, you'll be burning fat. So that's kind of the misconception. The idea that no one really thinks that you can overeat fat, and I don't know why, but they don't realize that you could easily overeat the fat and the protein on this diet and just store fat that way too. So they get caught up in the interesting story about reducing insulin levels by reducing carbohydrate levels, which doesn't even work on this diet because protein itself, it stimulates an insulin response. So even if you just remove all carbs from your diet, you're still going to stimulate an insulin response by eating some amount of protein. So part of the actual original diet was the idea that it was mostly fat, not a lot of protein. So it's not really – it becomes distorted when it becomes popular with the Atkins sort of thing, and the amount of carbohydrates creeps up a bit, and then it just turns into a pseudo-low-calorie diet with the gimmick of – higher protein and fat, which most people haven't heard of at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that if this thing was working so well and, you know, bodybuilders go through some sort of, I guess, variation of this diet, I mean, they wouldn't actually have diet plans or use drugs to actually cut down for contest, which they do.
What do you mean? Oh, what, people following this diet?
Well, yeah, I mean, you hear about, you know, bodybuilders and stuff and fitness competitors talking about going low carbs. And right now we know that it's a large majority of it is to shed water, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A bodybuilder would kind of go through a phase of this style of dieting maybe for a few days before the show, but just a few days. And most of it is in an effort to deplete glycogen and deplete some carbohydrate store. Stop eating carbohydrates, deplete glycogen stores, drop water, then rehydrate and try to land it all on the same day to make the muscles look as big and as bloated as possible, but at the same time, as lean as possible. Now, the other trick to that is that kind of philosophy typically only works in bodybuilders who are using drugs. I had a friend of mine who is a bodybuilder, and his trainer was talking to his trainer about that, and his quote trainer is basically the guy who just sells him his drugs and does his drug routine, his drug pattern for him. And he was talking about how people, natural guys, guys who don't use any drugs, are trying to mimic the final stages patterns that a bodybuilder does before a show. And his trainer kind of laughed. He's like, no, that's going to work if you're not using insulin and GH and testosterone. He's like, all that manipulation is like, you know, the ketogenic stuff, like all that. So he's like, that's not going to work. He's like, you need to be injecting insulin to make that work. And so he was like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. So there's this assumption, like people try to borrow from bodybuilders and do what they're doing, but without the drugs. And they just think it'll have the same effect. And that's just never the case. So even when bodybuilders go through these various carb depleting and loading phases and these little mini ketogenic phases, that's normally done also with a cocktail of drugs. So it's not like a natural guy is going to get the same effect as a bodybuilder does on these type of things.
Right. So what's the basis behind this type of diet? What are people actually trying to do? What kind of mechanisms are they trying to stimulate, so to say? Obviously we're depleting glycogen as far as energy is concerned, so there's got to be energy coming from somewhere else.
Okay, so the idea is if you reduce your carbohydrates intake down to next to zero and all you're eating is fat and protein, you're forcing your body to shift to a metabolic state where blood glucose and the usage of carbohydrate has to be replaced with some other kind of regularly burned fuel source, which your body ends up getting from fat, and they're called ketone bodies. It's two or three different different fatty acid type molecules that you end up burning on a regular basis instead of glucose. But it takes a few weeks to actually get into this sort of pattern. And normally when you see someone in ketosis, it's because they have some sort of metabolic disorder or they're starving and it's not a good sign when someone's in ketosis, because it normally means they either have diabetes and they're in big trouble, or they're starving and again they're in big trouble, or something else is wrong as a medical diagnosis when someone's in ketosis. But if you try to eat your way to a sustainable ketogenic state, it seems as though you can actually just eat this way, but it just takes a few weeks to get into it. So that means you're still eating enough. You're not wasting away. You're not starving to death. You've just shifted what your body's – you're forcing your body to use ketones more than glucose and glycogen.
Hmm.
That's the theory, and that's kind of more or less what – it's really unsustainable. People just don't seem to be able to stick to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, why would that be? I mean, are there certain kind of side effects that people run into? I mean, I kind of hear some things, but I'm like I say, you're the man on this. So.
I don't know if you could call it a side effect. It's as much as people just really like people. We're designed to eat carbohydrates if they're available, and so you're setting yourself up to constantly fight the urge to eat carbohydrates all the time. So even though you still get to eat, sort of. You know, it's not like it's not like you're starving. You still get to eat, but your food choices are really, really limited. Also, you're going to be deprived of certain nutrients, so you may actually need to take some sort of vitamin supplement. I suppose you could, if you did it right, you could force it for a while, but it just seems like it would be too restrictive. I mean, the list of stuff you can't eat is just enormous to actually be in a ketogenic state. And so I think that's part of anyone who thinks they've been doing a ketogenic diet probably cheat a bit on it, and they actually eat more carbohydrates than they think, so they're never actually really in ketosis. So, but to actually be doing it properly, you've got to restrict out all kinds of food. So it seems like more than anything than a side effect, it's just unsustainable because it's just because of not a lot of variety. Like you just in a society where there is massive abundance of food and variety, you're asking yourself to cut yourself off from too much of it.
Interesting. So, I mean, so none of this stuff about, you know, ketone bodies making you smell bad or, you know, any of that.
No, that's legit. You get like what's called, like, it's your, a person who's in ketosis' breath may smell like sweetish, like sweet, like they call it like fruit, almost like a fruit smell.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's legit if you actually get into ketosis, but it's not really. I mean, that's not gonna harm anybody. It's just something you may notice.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Swedish, like the country. I was like,
oh, no. It was sweet, sweetish. Yeah.
I was like, it smells Swedish. What's that smell
yeah,
like?
Yeah. What does that smell like?
So, I guess the big thing is that, I mean, you've kind of talked about it as far as, you know, what the real kind of story behind it is, and, you know, what people kind of have to do. I mean, does it work?
Well, if you eat less calories, yes. If you eat too much, it won't. Nothing will happen. You'll just store fat. So work, it's still, as far as fat loss, I mean, the only reason anyone even uses it is trying to lose weight. Which comes down to calories again. So if you can use it as a way to maintain a caloric deficit, then yes, it would work. But there's no magic to the physiology or the metabolic state it puts you in. It's just another way to eat less. So I guess from that standpoint, it could work, but it just seems so unsustainable. I've never really heard of anyone who's managed to stay on these type of diets for any real length of time. Its other benefit in the short term, just for a few days, is it helps you drop water. So, and I suppose it also works for epilepsy to some degree.
Right. Well, let's talk about that for a second. I mean, you know, speaking of water, obviously that's tied into glycogen storage, which is tied into strength. When you're working out, I'm assuming that a lot of guys, or not even guys, women or whatever, that are typically shifting to a lot of these diets, they're probably working out. Maybe not. So what are some of the kind of the, I guess, speed bumps that might be running in, as far as that is concerned? And also, for a lot of people, could you perceive it to be something where they see a quick result really fast, like you drop a lot of water, and then, you know, once you start dropping a lot of water, and once that's pretty much done, it kind of plateaus off, so people maybe lose faith in what they're doing?
Yeah, a lot of people who jump on that kind of thing and restrict carbs right away, they notice a huge reduction in water because, like we said, glycogen storing – so carbohydrates are going to get converted into blood sugar and then into glycogen, and that's going to – glycogen storage requires a lot of water storage, and so – When we're all just eating normally, just a normal mix of food, we all kind of have a particular level of water we sort of carry around with us. It's kind of like if you ever seen the TV show Survivor and you see how thin everyone looks, and then when you see them on that final show when they're all back in, you know, back in the studio and they've all been eating normally and they just all look way bigger and they all look fuller and I get sort of more healthier, so to speak. That's them in their sort of fully hydrated state, whereas on the islands you're seeing them like in their fully depleted state. So that's sort of what goes on when you're not eating like a kind of a fully mixed diet. You could be in a water depleted state and a glycogen depleted state. So you have a thinner, leaner look sort of all the time. And really it's just a difference in water. So when you go to a ketogenic diet or off of a ketogenic diet, that's one of the big differences. So right away, when you cut carbohydrates out, the first couple of days, you're going to drop a bunch of water just because you're not eating carbs and you're not fixing as much glycogen. So you will have that sort of, I guess it's I don't want to call it a placebo, but you have this like sort of initial effect that you just seems so dramatic that you think, oh my God, this thing's working. But once that water's dropped, it's dropped. There's no more to drop. And it has nothing to do with fat loss. It's just you're in a less sort of hydrated state. So, you could get a little discouraged after that. And then, you know, you're not replacing glycogen at the same rate you would have. I mean, because your body can synthesize glycogen even if you're not eating sugar. It's just everything's going to be at a different rate if you're not putting any carbohydrates back in ever. So it's, you may be in a slightly compromised performance state. You may not be as strong. Your muscles may never look quite as hydrated, those sort of things.
Right. I mean, I guess, but the big thing is, I mean, is it even worth trying? I mean, for most guys, I mean, or women, you know, I mean, what's your perspective on it?
Well, I don't think it would be sustainable for any length of time. You know, you could try it for a couple of days just to see what it feels like, to see what it's if you can get yourself to drop some water but still eat like predominantly just fat and protein. Yeah, you could test it out for a couple of days just to see what it feels like. But I bet you even within 2 days you'll find some serious challenges to not want to eat carbs. Or to resist the urge to eat carbs. So it's going to be that would be a test for no other reason than I don't know why you'd put yourself through that. I guess is what I'm trying to say. Unless you just want to see what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it being kind of a huge, like, kind of blow to the ego when you kind of go down or low carb a little bit. And when I say low carb, I'm not even talking about going no carb, but just lower. Mm-hmm. Or even less calories are naturally, for most people, low carb. And then, you know, you go for a couple of weeks like that, and then you eat a higher carb meal or something, thinking that it's not gonna quote-unquote hurt. And then you hit the scale the next day, and you're 5 pounds heavier because of water. I mean, I could see that just being totally ruinous, if that's a word, to somebody's just overall
psychologically health. It might just play on your mind. Because you'd be introducing big body weight swings, and maybe it would and like differences in body water, and then that might mess around with your head, because you may like the idea of having less body water and then want to try to stay that way constantly. But it's, you got to kind of get used to, like, it's, yeah, I see what you're saying. It could be a trick, like seeing yourself go up and down like that. So,
yeah, because I mean, we get lots of questions about the fluctuations and how to and people want to specifically be able to measure the actual fluctuations. And, you know, it's, I don't want to say for the novice it's impossible, because I don't want to try to act like that there's, different levels. But, you know, even for us, I mean, it's going to be hard to measure what these fluctuations are going to be. You just have to actually acknowledge the fact that they're there.
And, yeah, you get used to how you look and how much you weigh based on what you ate and how you trained over time. So, when you just sort of get used to that, but that takes like some time to get used to, and especially if you're not paying attention. Like, you're fluctuating constantly, whether or not you're paying attention to it. The minute you start paying attention to it, it's when you can start piecing together how you look after you eat certain things and those sort of things. So, and then when you make a drastic dietary change like this, odds are you're going to have another fluctuation that's sort of characteristic of it, and then another one back when you come off of this. And, that's just all there is to it. As when you make these sort of changes, you have those sort of fluctuations. So if you like the way it looks after a couple of days of it, yeah, sure, then knock it out. If you've got, I don't know, if you're going to the beach or something and you want to, not necessarily drop water, but want to get rid of some water bloat, maybe that's what you do. Like when I was working at one of the supplement companies, it was so weird when people had, this is how bizarre the supplement industry is. Like, one of the girls I'm working with, she's like, oh, hey, there's a pool party, if you want to go, we're all invited. I'm like, oh, that's great. And then she's like, oh yeah, a couple people are cutting their water just for the party. I'm like, excuse me? She's like, oh yeah, they're doing a water deplete, so the day of the pool party, they look ripped. I'm like, oh God. Like, it's just like, you serious? And she's like, yeah. But that's what you get when you have an industry full of bodybuilders and fitness competitors. Like, every social event has a little mini pre-contest diet in front of it.
Sure. So it's not just put on makeup and go buy a new shirt or maybe a new pair of shoes and get your hair done. It's do a water deplete too.
As well. Yeah. Yeah. Which is pretty funny, because like the building we were in was mixed with, well, it was like Regis, right? So it was mixed with some other companies. And the guy in the office next to me, he just worked like for a security company. And he was always asking me, he's like, what is it that your company does? Because all of our marketers were, like, every girl that worked for us was also a fitness competitor. So we had this outrageous staff of girls. And so this guy was like, I don't know what your company does, but I need to find out about it. And I'm like, we sell bodybuilding supplements through all fitness competitors. He's like, oh, okay, that explains it.
Gotcha. That's hilarious. It's like your staff makeup is absolutely incredible. How do you not get in trouble, with the hiring board for not being an equal opportunity employer? And
yeah, he must have thought the owner of the company was just all he did was hire on how good looking the girls were.
It's like, dude, he's the owner. He must be a pimp.
Yeah. No, actually, we just sell supplements.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, that's it, man. How do I get in that gig?
Yeah. It made his security thing look a little boring compared to what we were doing.
That's hilarious. So what's the end game on this? I mean, what's kind of the overall recommendation? You know, let's wrap this up because, like I said, this isn't a big conversation. We just wanted to go ahead and address it and kind of get it out there and let people make decisions for themselves.
End game. It seems like it could be useful in the short term, meaning a day or two, to manipulate the final look before a show or something like that. I know with our contest guys, they did a water deplete, which, I mean, you could even view 24 hours fasting as similar to this because you're cutting carbs that way. You're cutting everything technically, but you're cutting carbs that way too. Just in this case, you may continue to eat protein and still get some of the water reducing effects. So you could use it as a tool to manipulate your look in the short term, like literally like the people did that I worked with who would drop carbs drop water just to cut up for a day or two. So I would say it's a useful short-term tool, but it's not anything that seems to me as a useful strategy for any sort of long-term weight loss or diet manipulation at all success.
Yeah, it just maintenance-wise, it just seems too restrictive for most people.
Yeah, to get to where you want to get to as far as a weight loss program, this isn't really the smartest way around it.
Huh. Well, there you go, guys. You heard it from the man. So, like I say, you got anything else you want to add to that?
No, that's about it.
That's about it? Cool, man. All right, guys. Like I say, if you got any other questions, make sure you email them in or put them in the forum, and we'll get to them. But for John Barbin, I am Brad Howard, and that's your Adonis Lifestyle Podcast.